Only have 5 minutes. Ephesians 2:8-9, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. But does that rule out having to meet conditions in order to be saved? We talked about the walls of Jericho earlier. You know, the walls of Jericho fell by grace. Joshua 6:2 says, "The Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho." That's what grace means. God gives you something. The walls of Jericho fell through faith. Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The walls of Jericho fell not by works. Joshua 24:13, God said, "I have given you a land for which you do not labor." The walls of Jericho didn't fall by works. If they would have done it of their own labor, they'd have had sledgehammers knocking down those walls. The walls of Jericho fell by grace, it was given, through faith, Hebrews 11 says, not of works, Joshua 24:13. You agree, Steve? But did they have to walk around the walls 13 times in those 7 days for it to fall? Did they have to meet the conditions that God had laid forth? One time a day for the first 6 days, I believe. 7 times on the seventh day, they had to meet the conditions. And then when they met the conditions, God knocked them down. So Ephesians 2:8-9 says we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, but it doesn't rule out meeting the conditions of salvation any more than the fact that the walls of Jericho fell by grace through faith, not of works, rules out the fact they had to meet the conditions in order for the walls to fall. When we're baptized, we're not earning our salvation. It's not through works. It's by grace. God forgives us for our sins, and it's through faith. But we have to meet the condition. I don't have a lot of time, but he brought up Cornelius in his last speech. Steve, suffice it to say that Cornelius received a miraculous measure of the Spirit before he was baptized, not the non-miraculous measure that proves that we're saved. To show you an example of that, Saul, everybody in 1 Samuel 19, and his messengers, they were plotting to kill God's anointed David, and they prophesied. God, through the Holy Spirit, caused them to prophesy. Caiaphas, in John 11, 49-52, it says, "He spake not of himself, but prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation." Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. They had this, quote, miraculous measure of the Spirit. Didn't prove that they were saved any more than it proved that Balaam's donkey was saved when he spoke. Let's make this thing simple, brethren. In Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." I go back. If I had said the sentence, "He that comes to the podium and shakes my hand shall receive $1,000, but he that stays in his seat won't get a dime," I think I'm just being frank, every Baptist would know what they had to do to come forth and get that $1,000. Everyone, none of them would have sat there and said, "I believe, but I'm not coming forth to shake your hand." They would all come forth. They would have believed and come forth to shake my hand because they want the money. Why is it they can't believe the same thing or understand the same thing about Mark 16:16? And then John 3:5, "Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Steve, we made our argument in every speech that if this means baptized because of the remission of sins that they already had, then that would mean repent because of the remission of sins they already had. And you haven't responded to it yet. Repent and be baptized are both for the remission of sins. If it means because of in one case, it means the other. No, it means you're to be baptized into the remission of sins. Now, Steve, you talked a lot about the person dying on the way to the baptistry, and I responded to that. Mark 16:16 answers that. But the issue is really not, what about a person who dies on the way to the baptistry? Because if a person dies on the way to the baptistry, he's dead. There's nothing we can do about him. Here's the issue. In this verse, the Bible says to be baptized for the remission of sins. In other words, in order to get your sins forgiven. The Baptists believe that you already have the remission of sins before you're baptized. Therefore, they don't baptize people for the remission of sins. So the Baptists are not baptizing for the remission of sin. I was baptized as a Baptist at 10 years old. Then when I studied the Bible, I was about a junior in college. I said, I've never been baptized for the remission of sins because the Baptists taught me I had the remission of sins before I was baptized. That's the issue. We've got to be baptized for the remission of sins to receive the remission of sins. And Baptist baptism is not for the remission of sins. And that's why we are teaching them that they've got to be baptized for the remission of sins to be saved. That's the issue. Ananias told Saul, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Was Saul saved? Did he get the remission of sins when he believed on the road to Damascus? No, he was still in his sins, according to verse 22. He had to be baptized to get his sins forgiven. And then everybody look at 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism doth also now save you. That, in a quick way, says exactly what my proposition says tonight. I believe it. Baptism doth also now save us.